this week's Our Lightly Tried podcast. I'm Travis.
And I'm Erin.
And tonight, I'm going to interview Erin. Aren't you so excited?
No.
I haven't told her what I wanted to talk about yet, so we'll see how it goes. Okay. So let's just get into it.
I don't know if I'm ready for this.
So, as most people listening probably know, and hopefully we'll have new listeners that will actually need help with this, Erin is a widow. How long ago?
5.5 years.
Crazy. But...
yeah, it doesn't seem like that long ago.
Yeah. But, so 5.5 years ago. But we're not necessarily going to just talk about that. What I wanted to talk about or ask you about was, you seem to always struggle when people tell you how strong you are.
Okay.
Why do you think that is? You've always had a hard time with that word. As long as I've known you, you've always brought up how you just... you would say, why do people call me strong? I don't get it.
I don't feel like I had a choice in the matter.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go two ways when you're faced with that situation. You can sleep and not get up, which is what you want to do. Or you can choose to get up and put one foot in front of the other. And I feel like most people choose to put one foot in front of the other. So I don't necessarily understand why that is such a big deal. Because I wasn't doing anything special. I wasn't trying to do it. I was just trying to survive.
Yeah.
So I don't.
I know, but even, you know, when we look at other people, we have a friend who's going through cancer, and I think we both view her as being very strong.
True. Right?
And why do she's doing exactly what you're doing?
Yeah, I think you look at a situation and you think, like, how could I ever get through that? I don't know if I could. But when you're faced with that, you do. Like, yeah. You just do. And I mean, you survive because you have to. Everybody that I know that dealt with Steven's death are all strong. So I don't understand why my life or the way I chose to move forward makes me so strong. I don't know.
I wonder what it was. But I would guess that anyone we talked to who knew you during that time would say the same thing. Like, she was so strong, I couldn't have done it the way she did it
or handled it. I think people don't realize that they would do it. Like, faced with that situation, you just do it. Like, you just... live. You do it because you have to, because you don't really have a choice unless you're going to kill yourself, but that's typically not an option and not where people go. So you just do it because you have to.
How do you think you would have handled it if you guys didn't have the boys? Would it have been easier or harder?
No, I don't think it would have been either. It still would have been death. So then it would have been grieving the fact that we didn't have any kids.
Yeah.
And grieving the fact that he didn't have any piece of him left on earth. So I think that would be hard too. So I think either way it's hard. I'm watching the boys grow up and that's hard. But then if we didn't have them, I'd be grieving for the fact that we didn't have them.
Yeah, so Stephen can.
There's no easy way when you're... grieving. It's grief. It's all hard, no matter how it happens.
Do you feel like you grieve less these days than you did the first, you know, year?
No.
Quieter?
No. I feel like I mean, I don't know. I think when it does hit me now, it always comes as a surprise.
Yeah.
because I always felt like, okay, should we pass this by now? Like, this should not hurt so bad. But it still hurts like it did right the day after it happened. It's not any less.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't feel weird talking to you about this.
Don't feel weird talking to me. Are you kidding me? We share our entire life together. There's no feeling weird when it comes to this.
I know, but this isn't something we necessarily dive into often, and when we do, it's bits and pieces, because that's what I can manage, and I don't want you to feel uncomfortable, or, I mean...
We're well beyond that.
I'm aware, but I'm being sensitive to your feelings as well, I guess.
Well, how are you feeling talking about it right now?
A little squirmish.
Can you go further or back away from it?
No, we're fine. If you're fine.
Yeah. Do you think it's the hardest part is with the boys getting older and Steven not seeing things?
Yeah, I think that's always... I think in the beginning it was when they had, like, their first days of school and their first soccer game and their first... a lot of firsts in those first few years that he missed. And it was always, like, in my face that he wasn't there, wasn't there, wasn't there.
Yeah.
And now I'm starting to notice that I don't notice as much when he's not present for things. Like, we get through school performances and we get through Bryce's first basketball game. And it didn't really cross my mind that Steven was missing it, because he's missed so much already that it's just a normal thing for him to miss it. And I'll look back on it and I'll be like, damn, like, he would have loved that. Or, yeah. He would have been really proud, and when I think back at it, but getting through those things now, or I don't necessarily, like, dread them as much, knowing that he's not there, because it's just normal now.
Yeah.
But I think as they get older, it's, every year is different. I'm noticing Bryce grow up a lot, and Bryce has always acted like Steven and looked like him and been more like him than Jake. And so I always knew as Bryce got older, it would be harder and harder. And he's 8 now, and he's a lot like Steven, and it's weird. And a part of me loves it, and a part of me is just really, really sad. Because I miss those parts of him. So.
Yeah. And now Bryce is, like, becoming so awesome for us. And for years, he was such a pain in the butt.
He was pretty rough for a while. He struggled in school and trying to find himself. And, I mean, we're always doing that. But he's just really come into his own at 8.
Yeah.
And he's been really fun lately. And
yeah.
Really just sweet and funny and wants to make people laugh and is obnoxious and loves music and busy and always moving. And that's just the epitome of who Steven was. So it's fun seeing him turn into Steven. And then it's hard that Steven's not here to enjoy that with him and understand him.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't think it ever gets easier.
Yeah, I think it just changes.
Yeah. I know that the day that Bryce is like 12 or 13 was when I knew Steven. And I feel like that day will be hard when I recognize Steven and Bryce at that age, because I actually knew Steven at that age.
Yeah.
And so I know that that'll be hard. And I don't think dealing with death ever gets easier. You just learn to deal with it.
Why do you think when people would really describe you as being so strong, why did that really bother you, though?
Because I didn't feel like I had a choice.
Did you feel like you were strong in those moments, or did you feel like you were failing? in like the early stages of.
It felt like I was just surviving. Like I remember my mom saying, like, you need to eat. Like, you haven't eaten in 3 days. You need to eat. And I was like, no, because I like the pain of feeling hungry rather than the pain of, like, loss and grief. And so I was just literally surviving, like, just minute by minute. And I remember saying my body, I was alive because my lungs just kept taking in air, like, wasn't choosing to live. Like, it was just, my body was just working because it had to, because that's what your body does. So I didn't feel strong. Like, I felt like I was just trying to, like, get through the day.
You always talk about, like, those first few weeks as you were in, like, a, what you describe as, like, a fog. Mm-hmm. What was that like? And do you remember when you kind of clicked out of those moments?
No, I remember feeling like I was in a fog for 3 months.
Wow, that's a long time.
And just wondering. I don't remember a lot of those 3 months. I know that I lived with my parents for a month, and I had friends that took me out of the house and got me out. And then I remember, like, a month later, Stephen's mom came back down, and she stayed with me for a while. And got me back into our house. And then she took me back to Seattle with her for a couple weeks. I don't remember much of that trip.
What was it about Patty that was able to get you back into your guys' house? Because you'd been staying with your mom and dad.
Yeah, and she knew. I had told her that I didn't like being there because I just felt like I was staring at walls. And that I wanted the boys on a routine and I wanted to get back home, but I don't really know. I just remember her saying, all right, I'm coming down there and we're putting you back in that house. Like, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And I just said, okay. And we did. And I think I had been back there a couple times. But I don't know when I packed his stuff up, and I think I did that before we moved back in.
Was Patty, like, the strongest person during that time?
I don't know if she was the strongest. I don't think any of us were strong. I think she just wanted to help, and
she comes off as, like, a very matter-of-fact.
Yeah. She knew the reality of the situation, and she knew that that I needed to keep moving and keep busy, and she helped me with that. And I think it was good going up to Seattle and staying there for a few weeks. I don't remember 90% of that trip. I remember being in the backyard, and I remember going to a park with the boys. I remember George helping me work on my budget. And I bought a laptop while I was up there because I needed a laptop, I think I did. I don't know. I remember the flight home was terrible.
How old were the boys then?
When Steven died?
Yeah.
1 and 3. It was 9 days after Jake's first birthday.
Crazy.
Do you know all of this already?
I do, but no one else listening does. I feel like I know Steven better than anyone besides you can know him at this point. As crazy as that is, for not ever meeting him, besides one time.
Well, you've always let me share those stories, even when I tell them repeatedly.
Yeah, I can tell some stories at this point. And I wonder if other couples who are together after one of their, I bet it's probably more common.
Yeah, I feel like it's my job to keep those stories alive and to keep those memories alive because it's all the boys will know of him, and mm-hmm. You know, they're so ingrained in my head because we had I mean, 10 years together. So I always appreciate that you let me tell those stories.
How long after he passed away did you, like, start reaching out to widowed groups and communities?
It was quick.
Yeah.
It was like a month. I just felt so alone. I feel like nobody understood me. I remember sitting on my parents' computer looking up, like, husband died. And I somehow came across the Soaring Spirits Foundation. And they had a Camp Widow coming up that following month in April or August. So I, just a couple months after Stephen died, so I signed up for it. And then happened to come into contact with another girl who was going from Michigan, who lost her husband that same year and had two little boys. So we roomed together. And I went to Camp Widow. It's just so weird.
But what were the things they talked about there? Or what did you learn? What did you come away from it with?
I remember going there and just, I was still in such a fog. I mean, I was only 2 months out. And so to them, I was considered such a newbie and it was so fresh. And so people looked at me like the rest of the world looked at me like, oh my God, like, how are you standing here?
So maybe you did handle it with a lot more strength than some do.
I guess. I just needed to not feel alone. I'm like a really resourceful person. So if something happens, I'm going to Google it and I'm going to figure it out before a doctor or anyone can tell me the answer. So I needed to know that I wasn't alone. So I Googled it and found this group and I got there and you could sign up for classes. So like one of the classes was like widowed with kids and surviving widowhood, and it was all of those. The classes that I took were just all about like needing hope. I just needed to find some sort of hope. And I remember there was one girl, I think, or one lady. I want to say her name was like Sissy. She was an older woman. And in one of my classes, they were talking about being a widow, and I wouldn't say that I was a widow. And I just said, I don't want to say that. And she's like, she just grabbed me. She's like, but you are. She's like, you are a widow. Like, your husband died. You're a widow. And she just grabbed my hands and, like, looked at me really close. And she's like, and that's okay. Like, you're going to be okay. And
wow.
I remember that's when I lost it. But, like, the first time I cried there. But I'll never forget that because she just really, like, laid it out. Like, this is what it is, and you can't change it. And she was so sweet about it and so just compassionate.
Well, she must have just known that you needed to say it.
Yeah, and I still don't think I said it, but I remember looking at her knowing like I was going to be okay.
Did you feel like you would ever find anyone again?
I'd hoped that I would.
How soon did you, like, start even thinking along that?
Oh, I wasn't thinking about that. I remember at his funeral being told that it was okay if I found love again, and I just remember looking so confused, like, why is that even a topic right now? Like, and then I knew that I wanted to because I didn't want to raise kids alone and I didn't want to live alone and I didn't want to do this alone. And I stressed about it a lot because I didn't think it would ever happen. Like, I just was confused. And so I can remember in December just praying, laying in bed, and I just remember thinking, okay, God, like, I'm not going to go look for anybody. I'm not going to go find someone. I'm not going to look. I'm just going to let it happen. And if that means you're going to drop someone on my doorstep tomorrow or in 5 years, then I'm going to let it be. And I just let that weight completely go. Because I couldn't carry that. I needed to focus on the boys, and I couldn't worry about... I'm a planner, so I like to know when things are happening. And that was something I couldn't plan. I was a planner. So I let that go. And then like a month later, he literally dropped on my doorstep.
I know. Did you feel like it was too soon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I know, I did too. For both of us, for sure. And I'm sure everyone looking at us probably thought the same thing. Like,
oh, what? Yeah.
And I think I would tell anyone if someone came to me and asked for advice, he would just...
Immediately, you know, you're just like, no.
Yeah, be like, that's quick.
I was only like 7 months past losing Steven. And mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, it was very quick.
Yeah, and I don't know that because I knew he had passed away, but I don't think I had a real time frame in my head. I knew it had happened, but I don't think... Because my life was so chaotic, too. I don't think I ever put, like, wow, it was, like, recent. You know, yeah. When we started talking. Like, I knew it was, but I didn't really realize how recent, I guess.
Yeah. And I remember making it very clear, like, to you that I was grieving. And I was still in a position of, like, things being hard.
Yeah. I don't remember any of that, though. But...
I remember there was... I mean, that one time that we discussed, like... I mean, it was only a month into us, like, really seeing each other. And me saying, I think, like... I don't think we could do this. I don't think we can... This isn't gonna work. And you were like, why? I don't understand. And I just said, because I'm still... grieving, like, I miss him. And you said, I would be stupid if I didn't think that you didn't miss him. Of course you miss him. Yeah. And in that moment, I don't think either of us ever looked back. Hmm. Like, you, the fact that you understood that and let it be and let me continue to grieve was what I needed.
Yeah, it's weird thinking back on those times.
Yeah. What made you want a widow and two kids? Living the bachelor life.
The bachelor life? I don't think I ever experienced the bachelor life. I don't know what it was. It was just... We had just such an instant connection. You know, and I think one of the greatest things we ever did as far as a couple goes, we didn't meet thinking like, I want her to be my girlfriend or anything like that. We randomly saw each other and were able to open up because we weren't looking for that. It wasn't a blind date. It wasn't anything.
We weren't set up. We weren't looking. No, we weren't looking for anything.
Nothing. It was just, I mean...
the right time.
And we were both in like a vulnerable state where we were willing to open up to each other and open up everything. Like, I think before we even kissed each other, we had told each other everything that we'd gone through. You know, by the time we did kiss, it was like we already knew each other so well and what each other had gone through.
You're a good listener.
So are you. I feel like, do you remember, like, the conversation we had after sushi?
Oh, yeah, around that fire pit.
Yeah, like, that was just, that was hours and hours, and it was just, I mean, probably the greatest conversation of my life.
I think we were, like, frozen to death, and we're like, that's when I was like, I really need to go, yeah. Like, I'm really cold.
But, so by the time, yeah, we just already talked about everything. And I feel like so many people, when they first start dating, or even when they're in a relationship for a long time, you're still, like, trying to hide who you are.
Yeah, trying to show all the good parts of you before for you. Sure. Whereas we laid, like, all the dirt out. Like,
yeah.
And I don't think we were laying it out with the intention of being together. I think we were just, we both just needed to vent. And I think I needed, I mean, you were the only person I let into my life that I didn't know prior to being married to Steven. Or prior to Steven's death. Like, I, the only people in my life were people that were there.
Yeah, so I probably got to hear the good and the bad, whereas some people you probably wouldn't want to share the bad with.
Right.
You know, they had an opinion of Steven that, you know, that's who he was to them, so. But, yeah, pretty crazy. Well, what do you think you would say if you could sit, look at yourself then? You know, what do you think you could say to yourself?
Then when?
Like right after Steven passed away. If you were talking to a brand new widow.
Just to take care of yourself and let people help you and you'll be okay. I think that was the most important thing I heard, was like, you'll be okay. And I heard that from my mom, and I heard that from my friends and family. You know, you'll be fine. You'll be okay. You'll get through this. You're young. You'll be okay. And I didn't believe any of it until I heard it from another widow.
Yeah.
I took another widow saying, like, you're going to be okay, for me to think, like, okay, like, I'm going to be okay. And I remember so badly wanting to get, you know, 1 year out and, you know, looking down the road and thinking, okay, what's it going to feel like at 5 years? It's got to feel better than this. And,
isn't that funny? Cause now as time goes on, the further you get away from it, I think it's doing the opposite. Cause it's like, I can't believe it's been 5 years already.
Oh yeah.
You know? So when it's 10 years, it'll just be like, oh my God, like,
yeah, 5 years went by really quick. And in the first year, it felt like it was going by so slow. It felt like I'd never get 5 years out. But all I wanted to do was be 5 years out. And now that I'm 5 years out, I don't know if I feel any different than I did 1 month out. I mean, I know I do. I know that I'm in a different place. And I have reason to live, and I have reason to keep moving forward. And you know, I look forward to, you know, I've built dreams again with you and made plans, and, you know, I'm excited for those things.
And I remember you just bringing that up. I remember the making plans things. That what you did not want to do that when we first started dating. I remember you didn't like talking about the future type stuff.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So did I totally forgot saying. About that.
But, yeah, you were just like, no, it's, we have to be in the moment type stuff. Let's not talk about.
Well, yeah, Steven and I had, like, a packed summer. Like, we had, I mean, he died June 5th, and a couple weeks after that, we were supposed to go to Vegas, and then we were flying back down for his cousin's wedding, and then we were going to San Francisco together for our anniversary, and so we had plans that summer, and so much to look forward to, and then it was gone. It was all completely gone. So, yeah, making plans was hard. Forgot about that. Hmm. And I think for a new widow, just to, it's important to know, like, you need to do what is important for you. And if that means you go into your house and you put every single item of his in a tote so you don't have to look at it, then you do that. Or if you want to keep every single thing hung up in the closet, then you do that. Like, you can't do what other people expect you to do. Or yeah, tell you what's right.
There's no guidebook to it.
No, and even everybody's going to have an opinion on how you should be doing things. But their opinion isn't your life. It took me a long time to realize, like, to be able to say no. And to be like, no, I'm doing this because I want to do this.
I think a lot of that came from our relationship. Like, we knew we were going to be together regardless.
Yeah, there was no question. You know,
and it was so soon, and people were looking at it. But for the most part, so many people were so supportive of us.
Yeah, for the majority, 95% of the people in our life were 100% supportive. I think they just wanted to see me happy and see you happy. And
one that small percentage that wasn't came around very quickly because we didn't, probably because we didn't hide anything from, you know, the people we were thinking of. And we took the time for me to get to know them.
Yeah.
You know, and to show that, like, we're going to keep Steven's life and memory a part of the boys' lives. And
I think that was important, too. Like, I always felt a need to prove to people that, like, I wasn't just moving on and forgetting him. It was important that people knew that Travis was still letting me keep his memory alive, even though we were moving on together. You know, Steven was moving on with us in a weird way. And you let that happen. And so it was important for me to prove to everybody that that was how it was going to work. You know, by talking about him and you spending time with Steven's family. And it was never forced. You just were there. And I think just by you being there was a huge, you know, factor in them understanding that how this was going to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But.
And here we are.
Here we are.
It's going quick.
What's it like being the husband of a widow?
I don't know. I don't even know if I have no idea. I think I'm just so happy with our marriage and the love we have that, like, that's not even a factor ever. Like, it never has been a problem. I guess I can remember a few, like, probably in the beginning, getting somewhat. And it probably more is like a jealous type thing. But.
Jealous of it?
But no, I think, I don't know. We're just so lucky to have such a, what I think is a great marriage.
It's all right.
But. I think. Probably one of the hardest things is feeling so happy with life, in my life, in our life, in the boys, and knowing that we only have this because Steven's not here anymore. You know, that is something that creeps in, I'm sure, just like you and being, you know, in. But, and that'll creep in at moments. And it's always creeping in at moments when things are going really well.
Right.
And I'm so happy. And, you know, and that's a hard thing to wrap your head around. Like, I'm blessed because Steven's gone is a hard one. Luckily, you know, I feel like I really have music that relates to it too that helps me.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a huge thing for me. but it is weird.
I always appreciate when you know when I need space. Like, you've recognized that when a date comes up or an anniversary or a marker or something, that you know that I'm
sometimes having a hard time. Sometimes I don't. Jessica will have to text me and be like, this is what's going on. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, crap. All makes sense now.
Because it does comes in slow, and
you're always very understanding, though.
Good.
I appreciate that.
Anything else for tonight?
No.
All right. Well, until next time. I think we should try and do these every Wednesday night.
Good luck. I'm exhausted. It was a long day today. I'm surprised we squeezed this one in.